You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 289 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, March 7th. Who the hell knows what day it is after what just happened? I'm, of course, your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode. Make sure you're checking out all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. There's 30 NBA teams shows. There's 32 shows for the NFL teams as well. Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd. Locked On NBA with David Locke and a whole whack of other hosts who do daily shows across that show now as well. Find a show you like, find a host you dig, and subscribe to their show on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, all that good stuff, and it's very much appreciated. And you can do that with us. Find Locked On Raptors on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review. It takes no time at all. It's very easy to help support the show and makes us more popular and more visible and all that stuff. So thank you in advance for taking the 5 seconds that it takes to put down a nice little 5-star review and like a few words of kind critique or feedback or whatever you want to do. It's up to you. I'm going to breeze through the intros now because, holy crap, a game just happened. That was, I wasn't going to do a podcast today because there's nothing to talk about and I was busy, but the Raptors very much warrant a podcast right now after beating the Detroit Pistons 121-119 in probably the craziest game of the season. And to break it down with me is our friend Vivek Jacob. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. I mean, for a little bit in that overtime, I was kind of just hoping it would end. but the way that game finished, I don't think I've ever seen an opening 3 minutes to an overtime period quite like that. Seemed like there was every type of turnover possible. I think Sirotsoi said the only thing that was missing was an 8-second violation. So, that was nuts. And for DeMar to finish it that way, especially after the way he finished the fourth quarter, real feel-good win for the Raps.
Yeah. There's lots of like negative stuff you could take away from it, I suppose. But for me, the Raptors haven't had enough of these games this season where it's just like unadulterated fun, and you kind of just forget about like the grander scheme of things for a second, and you just like enjoy a really crazy drunk ass game. And this was exactly that. The first half was like borderline unwatchable. The Raptors lost the second quarter 36-18. Serge Ibaka was terrible. He got tossed in the middle of the second, which ended up being kind of the turning point of the game. But the second half was incredible. The fourth quarter was awesome. It was close the entire time. Blake Griffin was a monster. That you could probably say that was one of his best games of the season, at least with the Pistons. That he finished with 31 points. He didn't have anything else really across the board with 31 points. Andre Drummond with 10 and 21. It was just a really fun game, and it was stupid at the end. The Raptors didn't execute super well. I thought their offense kind of stagnated a little bit, but when DeMar DeRozan's making every damn shot, who cares? Like, I don't give a shit. I'm not worried about the process when the fun is kind of taking over and it's just like a really enjoyable game. And like, I know some people probably don't enjoy it as much as like a blowout win, but give me close games like this over blowouts, especially after seeing blowouts for 2 months. This was just like a ton of fun from start to finish, but mostly just at the finish where everything kind of got super crazy and drunk and kind of didn't make any sense. But I don't know. Are you on the side of like enjoying these types of games more so than like blowing out the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, over the course of 82 games, you know, especially with the way the Raptors have played, you know, they're 28-2 now against teams under 500. So you can't even say that, you know, that they don't come out, you know, in a professional manner and get it done. They've done that all season. The bench has been blowing teams out. The star has been getting plenty of rest. You know, some people might say you want to see these type of close games just against the really good teams for, I guess, you know, quote unquote, a real test. But, you know, take it when you get them. And the Raptors got to practice some sort of crunch time offense towards the end of the fourth quarter and in overtime. And obviously the overtime stretch looked pretty bad for the first 3 minutes. But the end of the fourth, I liked a lot of what I saw in the final 5 minutes. You know, the ball was moving around. They were pushing when they could get the ball off of defensive rebounds and sort of that semi-transition. And, you know, I think there's that sort of big to big to big play between Siakam and Valanciunas, that didn't go down, but you know, it was a good play. Just a lot to like, and obviously, I mean, can't say enough about DeRozan. That dunk, I mean,
Jesus, man. If that's the crunch time offense, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So I'm probably gonna have to like stick in the call from Mark Jones. The ESPN call is incredible. This game was on ESPN too. That's awesome. Like, that's so fun that DeMar did this on ESPN. That kicks ass.
Yes. Anytime the Raptors can make Hubie Brown happy, I'm all for it.
He called the bench people tonight, which is pretty fun. But yeah, no, the crunch time thing, I thought this entire game, like, the Raptors played pretty well offensively. The threes weren't falling, but they put up 40 of them, and I thought, especially in the first quarter, a lot of them were really good looks. They just missed a ton, and they weren't really falling. But, like, I thought the offense, I tweeted very early on, it was, like, the best 3-9 start on offense that I'd ever seen. Like, they just looked really crisp, and Norm Powell looked like he was involved and, like, didn't suck. He was excellent tonight, actually. 17 points, 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from deep. Like, he was a plus 12. Like, Norm was awesome, and that was really great to see. It's kind of another underlying feel-good story that probably would have been the story of the game before DeMar went nuts in the final quarter. What did he finish with, like, 27 or 28 in the second half, like, in overtime? Like, that's crazy stuff. Yeah. And for him to have the assist to Fred in the corner on the final play when, you know, it felt like he was kind of forcing things a little bit in overtime, I guess. There was that one play with, like, 30-some-odd seconds left that gave the Pistons the chance to go ahead late. You know,
DeMar, the post-up on Blake Griffin?
Yeah, the post-up on Blake Griffin, yeah, where he kind of got swallowed up. He, like, established his pivot foot and then, like, kind of lost any sort of angle to throw a pass out and just put up a shot that never had a chance of even getting to the rim. And then, so that was kind of maybe where it was like, all right, hope he's not forcing it too much. And then he drives down. For a second, I thought he was going to go try to dunk it again at the end of overtime, but instead he just dished it to Fred in the corner for the, I guess it was a long two that ended up being, but man, that was just a delightful game from DeMar, man. Like, can you, like, it's so hard to say, like, in the moment because he's had some incredible games, but, like, that this is has to go up there as one of his, like, three or four masterpieces, right? Because he shot so incredibly well. 42 points on 28 shots with 8 trips to the line, 8 of 8 from the line. Like, I don't know. This has to go down as one of his most ridiculous performances, no?
Yeah, it's right up there with the 52 he had against Milwaukee. I think just in terms of the opponent, you probably you have to rank the Milwaukee game higher. The fact that, you know, you got 52 on 29 shots here, he gets 42 on 28 shots, and, you know, I don't think he had an assist at halftime. And so to put up the points he did and still rack up another 6 assists, mm-hmm. You know, that's obviously huge. And yeah, in terms of the vibe of this game, it felt like, especially towards the end, like that game in New York last season when DeMar hit that buzzer beater.
Oh, yeah.
Buzzer beater to just break New York's hearts. And this felt a lot like that. And what you have to love on the play where, on both on the dunk and the one to find Van Vliet for the three, is how quick and how hard he pushed the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the Raptors inbounded with about 10 seconds left in the fourth. And you know what? Most of the time, you're probably going to see DeMar walk the ball up,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of see what he can get. But he got that ball, and he went straight down the court. And that's what opened up the opportunity. And, you know, rest in peace, Anthony Tolliver.
Oh, my God. Poor guy. Blake Griffin kind of hung him out to dry there, too. So he ended up bearing the brunt of it. The point you were making about DeMar pushing the pace, I thought that was kind of the reason they ended up playing well in the third quarter as well. Like, it was kind of a frantic third because they were just pushing it like crazy. They were down, of course, like 14. I ended up going up by 1 going into the fourth. And I thought a large part of that was just them pushing the pace, like, incredibly fast. And the tempo was just, like, a really fun pace to watch, but also kind of frantic, also kind of stressful to watch. Some mistakes in there. Although they're actually at 10 turnovers in this game, which feels low. But, like, Lowry, he was killing it in that third quarter. He had 15 points and 15 assists as well. And this is the kind of game, like, you can kind of – it's weird to have the Raptors stars be their best players, but they were tonight. And like, I guess that's kind of what you save up for when you're playing them, you know, 25 minutes against the Hawks on a Tuesday night, or like just resting them for fourth quarters for the last month and a half. You know, you kind of save up the sort of bandwidth for them to come out and have a game where they play 43 and 41 minutes respectively, and are very much the best players on the floor for the entire night, and very much sort of, you know, steer a comeback. Like, we haven't really had to see Kyle and DeMar, especially together. Like, they'll have their own games here and there where they kind of lead the show, but for the two of them to play in concert this well, in a game where they really needed them to in order to come back, like, I thought that was really impressive and really fun, and it kind of reminded me of past days of the Raptors where it was all Kyle and DeMar and there was nothing else that could really keep things up, and they needed it today. It hasn't been a recurring trend, but it was nice to see that kind of come back out once more.
Yeah, and, you know, the other things that you have to appreciate about this game is the fact that, you know, Ibaka gets ejected, DeLon Wright doesn't play in the second half. You have OG, who's still out injured, so obviously that was huge to finally get a big small forward performance from Norman Powell. Siakam, you know, sort of had that mini Draymond Green game as well, with 8 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block, hit that corner three as well, so... Mm-hmm. You know, just a lot to like about this game. You know, haters are gonna say, "Oh, it's the Pistons. You should have this should have been a blowout victory." But guess what? Yeah. All 6 wins that the Pistons have had since they've got Blake Griffin have come against teams on the second night of a back-to-back.
That's an insane stat.
They're 6-10. With Blake Griffin, and all 6 wins have come against teams on the second night of a back-to-back.
That's wild. Blake Griffin was awesome tonight, and I kind of, this game too, when you get a close game like this that's not against like a garbage-ass team, and it's a team that's kind of desperate, like, you get some cool, interesting tactical stuff, which we haven't really seen at all with the Raptors, because every game has kind of followed the same formula, and there hasn't been a whole lot in terms of like adjustments or anything like that. You know, the rotations stay very much the same regardless of the matchup, but in this game, they were kind of forced into it with Ibaka getting ejected in the second quarter, and they went super small against Blake playing the four, and I really liked watching how they sort of approached guarding him there, and I like that you kind of get some reps in with CJ Miles playing the four, and it wasn't amazing by any means, although I do think they were a plus in the very few minutes that they had that configuration on the court. I'd have to go back and double check just the exact numbers from that stretch, but you know, it started off pretty rough. Miles couldn't handle Blake, but they kind of figured out where the help was going to come from. They might have had like a pretty, you know, loose whistle in terms of like diving in to sort of cut in and try to get steals off of Blake, and maybe there was some contact there from guys like Lowry and DeRozan, but it didn't get called. But I thought that was kind of interesting to watch them try to attack that problem and sort of solve it over the course of a few possessions, where eventually they were just like funneling Blake into Lucas Noguera. Noguera was swatting shots away or contesting, or they had guys digging down. I thought it was kind of interesting to watch that play out, and it struck me because I haven't really seen an interesting tactical thing for the Raptors in a while, just because everything's kind of been so much of the same formula every single game.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think one of the interesting things was, you know, Blake Griffin, yeah, he had a big game, and he used that size factor, which was actually surprising, because I went over this with Duncan Smith previewing the game for Raptors Republic, and I was looking at Blake Griffin's numbers. His free throw rate this season is at 29% compared to 42% for his career. Mm-hmm. He get 37% of his shots for his career come within 3 feet of the basket. It's down to 20% now, so he's changed up his game completely. But, you know, it was almost like tonight, going up against Siakam, going up against, you know, people that I guess he felt he could bully a bit, even with the, you know, offensive fouls that he was getting away with, it really helped him. And that's sort of what helped, you know, create this great game. And Drummond with his 21 boards, sort of, you know, you can say that he had a great game. But Valanciunas was great too. I thought he had great stretches defensively, and that's why he was able to be on the court to close the game. So just a lot of, you know, matchup things that happened both ways, and both teams did some interesting things, and I think that set the stage for what we saw.
Is Jonas just like a good defender now? It's weird, but like, he's like been kind of good for the last like 2 or 3 months. Like, he hasn't been, like, there haven't been really many games where it's like, oh man, Jonas needs to come off the court because he's getting just thrown out of the blender in the pick and roll or anything like that. Like, obviously he still has his issues, and him and Ibaka had some signals crossing issues today early on, but like, three blocks for Jonas. He had that one where he just completely swallowed up Reggie Bullock at the end. He rebounded incredibly well. Like, yeah, Jonas has been awesome, man. And
he had the one on Blake Griffin too, where Blake Griffin tried to go up and dunk it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Drummond ended up getting the offensive rebound and putback, but that was a great play too. And I think one thing that's so key to him now in those closing minutes is the Raptors are able to close out possessions with the defensive board, which was the one thing they were sacrificing when they had to go, you know, with Ibaka at center or, you know, Poeltl at center. That was the one thing that was a concern. And now if JV can close games and clean up these possessions and end the possession with a rebound, it just makes things that much easier for the Raptors in the clutch.
Yeah, and having Siakam out there is pretty good too. He's been rebounding pretty well as well lately compared to what he was like last year, started this season. He had 6 boards tonight. Like, he's not like an incredible rebounder, but I'd say he's probably average for his position, so that just, it boosts that ceiling as well. Because Ibaka, even at the 4, is like not amazing. And like, there was a lot of Ibaka hate for after tonight's game, and like, understandably so. He was terrible. Obviously got ejected. It just didn't seem like he was all that interested. Second night of a back-to-back, all that stuff. I talked about this on Monday, though. Like, I don't think this is any sort of thing where it's going to linger on or anything like that. I think it's Serge Ibaka just kind of coasting through a part of the regular season that a guy like him is probably liable to coast through. But yeah, no, this was a...
he's a smart bet. He's just saving up for Houston.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now the Raptors play Houston on Friday, which we'll preview tomorrow and Thursday. But any other stray thoughts from this game? One I have is that DeMar only seems to throw down poster dunks in crunch time, which I think is like, that he has to be the only guy who like reserves his, like, he must have the highest percentage of poster dunks that come within like the last 5 minutes of close games, right? Because I think his last 4 have come in that situation. He had that one against the Bucks last season in game 6 against Thon McCurr. He had the one over Tristan Thompson in like the second game of last season. He had the one over Rudy Gobert as well, which I'm pretty sure was late in that game. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of nuts that he saves these dunks for this. And I'm not sure if that's like a conscious thing or anything, or if it's just like him just kind of going back into the bag of tricks when he's most desperate for something that like he used to be really good at. I don't know what it is, but it's unbelievable that he just keeps pulling out these insane dunks in like the most high leverage situations.
DeMar's the most interesting man in the world. He doesn't always dunk, but when he does, it's to end people's lives in crunch time.
Anything else from this game that you wanted to touch on?
No, I think that's a good note to finish on.
Yeah. Fred wasn't great, but shouts to Fred for making that shot at the end. I tweeted in the middle of overtime, take Fred out for CJ Miles, and they did it for a second, for like 2 possessions, and then CJ went back to the bench. And Fred proved me wrong, proved a lot of people wrong, because I think a lot of people were calling for that switch to be made, but
Yeah, they were playing offense defense, but I think it just worked out at the end that, you know, off the Pistons missed that, you know, you don't want
to. Yeah, you're not
closing the time. Anytime, you just want to hit them in the open floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And shouts to Norm. I mentioned Norm already, but really glad to see him kind of get back. He had a dunk too, which was nice to see. Didn't force too much. He had one after he made his first shot at the game. He had this sort of crazy drive that was a little out of control, and I was like, oh no, old Norm's back after one made shot. But I thought he would play really within himself for the rest of the game, so that was really great to see too. So. Not the prettiest Raptors game of the season by any means, not their most convincing win, but certainly I think one will probably remember more than, you know, 95% of the wins this season, which is, there's something to be said for that for sure. Vivek, thanks for coming on, man. Your second appearance of the week, man, you're just, racking up these appearances, but we love having you on. Do you have anything you want to plug right now?
I'll have, something up. For B-ball breakdown either tomorrow or day after on Isaiah Thomas and what kind of his options may be in the offseason.
Right on. Oh, that'll be interesting. That's a different.
Yeah, podcast. It was a fun one to write because I was like, this is
China.
I don't know how this is gonna go.
Guangdong, yeah. All right, man. thanks for coming on. Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. If you have not yet signed up your team, you can still sign up a team for Hoop Talks NBA Trivia 3.0 tomorrow night. If you're here listening to this Thursday morning, it's Thursday night. 7 o'clock are the doors. Probably start around 7:30, 7:45, something like that. At the Pint, 277 Front Street West, it's free to sign up. Sign up a team of three or sign up as a free agent, and we'll put you on a team. I'm really excited about this. It should be a lot of fun. Lots of listeners that are going to be involved. I like dealing with the listeners, talking with listeners, and meeting with listeners, and just sort of shooting the breeze and having a good time. And you can win tickets to future Hoop Talks events as well when you come on out. So excited to see everyone who's already signed up. And if you haven't, make sure you do it. It's going to be a blast, and it's free. You can just buy beers and do trivia. There's no downside whatsoever. Do that. Sign up. The link is in my pinned tweet on Twitter. And until the next time, you can follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. Go to LockedOnRaptors.com for all the latest episodes. Subscribe, rate, review, all the stuff I've asked you to do a million times before. I'm really tired, so I'm going to wrap this thing up. And Vivek, thanks for coming on, man. And we will talk to you guys next time on Locked On Raptors.